Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service with me, Catherine Davis. Today, I'm taking you back to March the 23rd, 1962, a milestone in aviation safety, when a prototype of the cockpit flight recorder, the black box, was tested in Australia.
They only got one recording from their prototype device, and that was it. But it showed all instrument readings and voice projection over the top. And although it possibly sounds simple in today's electronics, that was an incredibly complex scientific method of separating voice from background noise.
Today, the modern equivalent of the black box is compulsory equipment in passenger airlines around the world.
In a world where aircraft travel is increasing very rapidly, I think it's doubling every 10 years or some figure like that, and the number of people who die in aircraft crashes in absolute numbers is going down, all you can say is that it's saved tens of thousands of lives over these years.
This film is concerned with the causes of fatal accidents in the field of general aviation. There are two primary factors involved: the man and the machine.
The story of the black box began in the early 1950s with David Warren, a chemist who worked at the Australian government's aeronautical research laboratories.
Dad was a fuel scientist expert and was asked to attend a conference or a discussion of why the Comet aeroplane would have crashed in 1953.
Jenny Warren is David Warren's daughter. She remembers her father as a man always brimming with ideas, an instinctive lateral thinker. And, she says, it was while he was at this conference about Comet Airlines that he found his mind wandering.
At this stage, he was thinking about a tape recorder that he'd seen at the World Trade Fair. And he was fascinated by this thing, and he particularly was interested in it because he had visions of himself taking this tape recorder to a Tommy Dorsey concert, and he would have loved to have sat and taped the Tommy Dorsey concert. So while he was sitting in this conference, he was enjoying his tape recorder thoughts, and he thought, you know, we could have a survivor. If we had a survivor, that would be useful, but you can't get a survivor from a plane crash. But you know, they could talk into that tape recorder and tell me what happened while it was happening, and I wouldn't need a survivor, I just need a tape recorder with the pilot telling me what's happening while the plane's crashing.
After the conference, David Warren went back to the laboratory and wrote a memo proposing an aircraft flight recorder. He then set about developing the idea, determined to see it through.
The lab director kept insisting that to get rid of this development because it had nothing to do with what Dr. Warren should be doing, and he had a program to deliver, and David Warren said to me that he thought the program wasn't nearly as important as this, and so he was going to work on what he thought.
Bill Schofield was a colleague of David Warren's and a close personal friend.
He was the most determined person and enthusiastic person and unconventional person I have ever met. You gave him a problem and he was like a dog with a bone.
By 1957, a demonstration model had been produced, but the Australian aviation authorities weren't interested, as David Warren himself recalled in an interview.
The answers we got were very disappointing. One answer was, we do not need your device. In our opinion, it would produce more expletives than explanations. Another one was, Dr. Warren's invention has no immediate significance in civil aviation.
It always seemed to me an ongoing frustration. All I can really remember is just repeated frustration about the management, why they blocked him, the stifling of it. That was what dominated my memories at the time.
Peter, David Warren's son, says that despite the lack of any official top-level support, his father's immediate colleagues did back him. They helped hide the project while David Warren continued to work on it. Then, in 1958, came an unexpected breakthrough.
Coombs, our director, had a friend of his from England, and I heard Coombs' voice behind me say, Dave, tell my friend here from England what you're doing. It was only later I found out it was Sir Robert Hardingham. So I simply said, if you put one of these in the plane and it had an accident, you'd have a record of the 4 hours of what the pilot said and what the cockpit instruments were reading. And I heard this pommy voice say, I say, Coombs, old chap, that's a damn good idea. Put that young lad on the next courier and we'll show him in London, began. And I looked up to Coombs, and he had a twinkle in his eye because he could see this was a possible breakthrough at last. And he said, "Righto, Dave, get your passport ready. You heard what the man said."
He was just delighted and excited that somebody wanted to see his machine. And when he got to England, London particularly, and showed it and got such a wonderful reception, he was just over the moon. That was probably the highlight of his life.
David Warren returned to Australia via Canada and the United States, where he also demonstrated his flight recorder. Back home, he worked on a further prototype. On June the 10th, 1960, a civilian plane crashed at Mackay in Queensland, killing all passengers and crew. It was Australia's first major air accident. When an inquiry failed to reach a clear conclusion about the cause of the crash, the judge recommended that flight recorders be installed in all Australian airliners. Yet, even then, it wasn't David Warren's model that the government decided to purchase.
Australia bought an American system which didn't work, rather than David Warren's system. So it really was a lost opportunity, and the Defence Department didn't want to patent it because it was going to cost £2,000. David's development was unique, simple, and easy to understand, much better than the competing systems.
What we understood in the broad sense was that the belief was that we couldn't do anything better than what was coming out of the United Kingdom and out of America. That was a very solid belief that if there was anything worthwhile in the world, the Americans would have discovered it, and we will import from the Americans. There's no way that we could possibly compete with that. And that was a lot of the mentality that David was up against.
As interest in the concept took off around the world, companies in other countries had moved ahead with development, capturing the market. David Warren's system was taken up by a British firm, Duval's, and became the red egg because of its shape and colour.
All aircraft vibrate a little. Here the red egg is prepared for the worst by being subjected to merciless vibration through a wide band of frequencies. The official specification states it shall withstand a static crush force of 5,000 pounds applied continuously for a test period of 5 minutes. Well, it would take more than that to crack this egg.
Australia was the first country in the world to make installation of the black box and commercial aircraft mandatory. But official acknowledgement of David Warren's role in its development was a long time coming.
Do you think he was so persistent because he realised the importance, the significance of this particular idea that he had?
Yes, there's nothing more powerful than a man who knows when he's right. And he was absolutely thoroughly convinced. He was, by his own admission, a bit of a renegade, and he didn't pull any punches. And in that, he's probably stepped on toes and ruffled feathers and irritated those above him, because he called them as he saw them.
Dad's vision of the black box was about it being used for exactly what it's used for now, for the good of aircraft investigation, for positive results. He believed that was for the good of people in general, and he wanted people to have it. Very, very altruistic passion behind his push to have that idea accepted. It was about it being used for good rather than him being congratulated on its use or rewarded for its use.
David Warren's son and daughter, Peter and Jenny Warren, and his former colleague, Bill Schofield, were speaking to me, Catherine Davis, for Witness. For details of our complete range of downloads, please go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.